So the word of the Lord from John 1, verses 35 through 41. I invite you to turn in the Bible there if you'd like to follow along. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter, both words meaning rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Ah, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to them all, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The word of the Lord. So in the Pew Research, there was a study about evangelism. And the idea that most of us have come to know Christ through the invitation of a friend or a family member. How did you become to know Christ? How did you become a Christian? Who invited you? Think about your own story. How did it first come about for you? It's not always like that, but this research said about 80% of evangelicals are people who have heard the gospel from a friend or a family member. That's how they have come to know Christ. Think about who invited you for the first time. Who might you invite is another question. In the church, we often hear of these two practices, evangelism and discipleship, kind of things that we ought to do as Christians. What do those really entail? There are many forms and many methods for those things. But here, in the beginning of John's gospel, we see a really simple beginning of Jesus' discipleship, of his followers. Jesus looking at these men and calling them to follow him. We got a bunch of ordinary people right here, figuring out their lives, figuring out their journey, physically and spiritually. And Jesus shows up on the scene and invites them to follow him. Some of these guys hear about it from a friend or a brother. And so we think about evangelism, and we often, I think it's a good practice for us to just boil it down. We're just calling people to come and see Jesus. There can be so many methods and so many ideas, but we see that in the Christian life, we're all journeying towards something. Practices such as evangelism and discipleship, which I'll define a little bit later, those both have a common goal. That is seeing Jesus Christ. Listen to the verbs. I'll read this first paragraph again. Listen to the verbs that John uses. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them and said to them, "What are you seeking? What do you desire?" This word in the Greek has a much more complex nuance. It's not just, what are you looking for? But it's like, what do you desire? What do you want? What are you desiring? What are you looking for? These guys are trying to figure out their purpose in life. They were fishermen. They were just doing their normal routine. What do you desire? And they called him teacher, rabbi. Where are you staying? He said, come and you will see. As I've mentioned in the past, John's gospel is all about seeing Jesus. It's about recognizing who Jesus is. And it's a gospel that takes, scholars are still figuring it out. It's so rich, so complex, so deep theologically. There's so many wondrous images of Jesus. But it's also a text that we can show our friends. A text that is friendly to someone who's not a believer. It's a friendly text to even skeptics and even people who are questioning. Even Nathaniel in this passage might be similar to a skeptic today. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? What are you talking about? Come and see. Come and see. They came and stayed with Jesus, and even Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew's only mentioned a couple of times in the gospel, but we read all about Peter. We all know Peter's ups and downs. We all know that he was the rock, as mentioned here. Kephas, Peter, Petros, the rock. The rock on which Jesus will build his church. But what would have happened if Andrew never invited his brother to come and see? Evangelism has many methods and many ideas, but really it's an encouragement for us to invite people to come and see what we're all about. It's not about a denomination, or it's not about a certain standpoint or anything. It's just about our leader, Jesus. We're inviting people to come and see Jesus. And part of that is maybe even inviting people to church where they can interact with the Gospel of John in this season, or whatever the Word of God is speaking to us in the days. Come and see. Which character do you identify with, maybe? We've got Peter, we've got Andrew, we've got one of the other disciples that's unnamed. Most people think that that is John, the guy who's writing this Gospel himself, the beloved disciple. But he's kind of unnamed, and he kind of leaves himself anonymous throughout the gospel. I like to think of it as like a placeholder, almost. We can step into some empty shoes and just be there. Can you imagine being there with Andrew? There's John the Baptist, that wily guy in camel's clothes, a voice in the wilderness. And again, we hear him say, "Look, there he is, the Lamb of God." And seeing Jesus and following him. Where are you staying? Jesus says to you, come and see, come and stay with me. This isn't just come and have a sleepover. This is come and stay. This is in John's gospel in the Greek, come and abide. Come and abide with me. Think about John 15. Jesus says, abide with me and let me abide in you. Remain with me. Stay with me. Abide in me and I in you. You will bear much fruit. So So evangelism is inviting people to come and see Jesus. What is discipleship? What does that mean? That is another thing that has so many methods and ideas about it. But really, discipleship is following. It's learning. It's being a pupil, being a student. It's following Jesus. It's abiding with Jesus. They call him Rabbi. Jewish schools was a lot different than schools today. It might have been more like a boarding school where people live there. They have one teacher that they live with and watch. They see how they move, how they interact, how they go about their business. And they learn from that disciple. They learn from that follower, that leader. Rabbi, which means teacher. So even as we think about discipleship, we have to boil that down. It's a lifestyle of abiding with Jesus, of sitting at his feet, sitting under his teaching, staying with him. Maybe that includes sleepovers. Maybe that includes a night of praying and fasting and spending time in the Word. But it's just a lifestyle of learning and being a follower of Jesus, staying with him. In this text in John, we see these random guys coming together, looking at Jesus, following Jesus, and staying with Jesus. And that's not just to be a spiritual idea. That's something that you and I can interact with today. We are to be constantly looking into the Word of God, looking at this gospel, looking at the picture of Jesus presented. We are supposed to follow him, obeying his commands, obeying his beatitudes, speaking up, fighting for justice, being meek and poor in spirit. It's also about staying with him and abiding with him. So we invite people, we tell people to come and see, and we see this amazing picture. For a moment, I'll jump to the end of this text. We think about Nathanael as a skeptic. You could say, does anything good come out of Nazareth? Remember, these guys were all looking for someone from Bethlehem. And indeed, Jesus was from Bethlehem, but he was born in Bethlehem, but then grew up in Nazareth. So it both works. But can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then Jesus shows up and he says, hey, Nathanael. Ah, an Israelite through and through. He says, how do you know me? He looks at Peter and he says, ah, Peter, you are the rock. Peter might be thinking, how do you know me? Who is this guy? Who is this Jesus? What does Jesus say about you when he looks at you? Your truest self. Jesus knows you, and he calls you to follow him. But anyways, Nathanael, how do you know me? And Jesus says, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. And I guess that was enough. He says, oh, wow, you are the rabbi. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Just that little insight was enough for Nathanael to see, oh yeah, this is who you guys are talking about. The one who Moses and the prophets spoke of. And Jesus is like, really? That's all it took? You'll see way bigger things than this. Again, John's gospel is kind of divided into two parts. The first part, all these signs of the Son of God, all these signs that starting next week we'll be looking at. Pointing to God's glory. And then the second half, kind of the glory of God in the passion narrative. So John kind of uses this, you'll see bigger things than this. It kind of gets us ready to be looking at and noticing the signs of Jesus. But even here, he gives him a really peculiar sign. He says, behold, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What does that mean? Well, sure enough, as Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament points to Jesus, we have a connection to Genesis 28. Jacob's ladder, you might remember. Jacob, who is Israel, He has a dream one night. I'll just read from Genesis here. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top was a ladder, and the top of it reached to heaven. There was a ladder set up on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. Then Jacob awakes, and he says, surely the Lord God is in this place, and I didn't even know it. And he was afraid, and he said, this is an awesome place. There is none other like this. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And so early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and he set it up for a pillar. He poured oil on top of it and he called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God. Yeah. The house of God. Jacob's vision. God reminding Jacob of his family and his ancestry and the promise that's coming through his family, through his seed. All the families of the nation will be blessed. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. It's a powerful image. And here Jesus is telling Nathanael that he will see this ladder. John 1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we see that in Jesus Christ, the Son of God has become flesh. And in Jesus, we see the heavens opened. We see God's presence ascending and descending. In Jesus, we see the house of God. He is God's presence among us. And through Him and through us now, in Him, the nations can be blessed. And now through the church, God pours out his promise. God's promise here in Jesus Christ is that in the person of Jesus, we have, you can say, a new Bethel, the new house of God, a new vision that Jacob saw 3,000 years ago or whenever it was. The Son of God, the Word of God, become flesh. Jesus, our Savior, the one in whom we have life, the one whom we see these signs that we will see, and even this sign, the one that we have life through, and who now we can be heirs with, and we can be ambassadors for his promise that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Every nation of the earth. Amen.